When the TV is on, renovation is often the theme. And there's kind of three categories of renovations you see quite a bit. And the first is those home shows, right? Where there's this old house, and it looks like the next family to move in there is going to be a family of raccoons. And you start looking at it, and it just looks pretty rough and pretty hideous. And if we're up to you, you just hop in a bulldozer and knock that old girl down. But then somebody comes along with a different set of eyes. And somebody can just walk into that house and say, well, I know this wall would go here and this would come out here. And by the time they do the before and after, you see that picture and you're like, man, forget about raccoons. I want to live there. That's beautiful. Just because somebody looked at it with another set of eyes. And then kind of the second category of renovation shows you see is like those weight loss shows, right? The Biggest Loser, where, you know, somebody's been struggling with bad habits their whole life long, and they got used to just waking up in the morning and grabbing a bag of Doritos and dipping in the cake frosting, and the last time they ran, they were 6 years old and there was a bad dog. But somebody looks at them and says, no, you know, this could be a healthy person. And so they kind of start coaching them and helping them along. And after a while, you see those before and afters. And you look at that and you're like, is that the same person? Because you have to look at the eyes, right, to see if it's really the same person. But ladies, you have to look at the eyes. They're up at the top. But then, you know, so somebody had a different way of looking at that person. And then the third category is actually my favorite. It's those old car fixer-upper sort of shows. Every summer we go spend some time with my in-laws. And first of all, any retired couple that's happy to have a family of six move in with them for a couple of weeks is pretty awesome. But my father-in-law even takes it one step further, where, you know, he's got his recliner stationed right in front of the television. But he'll let us watch any show we want to watch, as long as we don't change the channel, which is usually on like one of those old car fix-up shows. And the catch is you see some of those vehicles before where they just find this vehicle out in a barn or out in a field. This one's in a field in Mexico. And most of you kind of look at that and you're like, what a piece of junk. But at least a few of you are looking at that and saying, 67 Mustang GT Fastback. And so somebody puts in the time and puts in the energy and tears it down to nothing and rebuilds it. And by the time you see that finished showroom sort of picture, and there's this sparkling, beautiful car, you're just like, is that really the same car? And the only reason it comes to happen is because somebody has an eye and goes through that transition and it works out beautifully. God looks at us and every situation with a better set of eyes than we do. We can look at that cross and just say that's gross, that's pitiful, that's a mess. But God knows the after picture. And so to him, that's the most beautiful moment there is. And God can look at us and see where we're at now, but also know where we could be. And he knows our struggle with sin, where you've been messing with sin your whole life. And even if you're a pretty good Christian, I got some bad news for you. You're probably going to be messing with sin the rest of your life. There's a proverb that says, just like a dog will return to its vomit, so a fool returns to its folly. Like, as gross as it is to imagine a dog throwing up and then saying, looks good, and laughing it up. That's just kind of how it is with our sin. Well, we just kind of go right back to it. But the biggest struggle we have in our life is the fact that we're dying. And we know we hear other people die, and we know on a level that we're going to die. But we still do everything we can to avoid it. And so you get a big old gun and stick it under the bed. And you get a whole bunch of pills and vitamins to try to live a little longer. And you go get you a big F-65,000 with 30 airbags. So if anybody runs into you, you just plow right through them and you'll be fine. And I get it. Because when my oldest turns 16, we're buying her a tank. And it's going to be glorious. And she'll be perfectly fine. But we spend so much energy trying to avoid death. And yet in the Bible, we're given a different option. Paul is a follower of Jesus who encountered Jesus after he'd been resurrected, after he'd ascended into heaven. And after he does, his entire life has changed. So much so that he says, he writes this sentence to a church where he says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Because in our regular run-of-the-mill lives, we look at death gets that final victory, and no matter what we can do, no matter how many guns or pills or airbags you have, you're still going to end up at the funeral home. But after Paul had seen Jesus, he said death doesn't get that victory. And sting? You know the sting of death, the fear of death? Last night I was out on the porch and a bee went by, right? And, you know, especially if you're a parent, you teach kids to try to avoid the bees. Don't stick your hand in a beehive because you don't want them to get hurt. But I actually thought of this verse, and I was thinking, if bees didn't have the ability to sting, how would you look at them? Because if they couldn't sting you, and you saw a bee go by, you would say, "Oh, it's a cute little fluffy bumblebee." And you'd go and pet it, and you'd say, "Thank you for the sweet honey," because it wouldn't have the ability to sting. And when Paul looks at death, he has that same reaction. It can't sting. It can't hurt. What makes that young couple's renovated home special to them is that they went through that hard time of the renovation. And they have those crazy memories of the time where it rained an inch and a half and they had six soup kettles all over the house collecting rain coming through the roof. And that time that she sent him to the store to get some tan paint, and he had a heart attack and fell over on the floor when he realized there's 600 shades of tan at the store. And what makes that weight loss to that man special is he knows what it was like to get out of bed before, and how he struggled with everything, and now he's kind of come to this peace. And what makes that father and son driving to the car show just a joy is they remember what it was like when there was oil spraying all over the garage and they spent 4 hours working on a bolt and they were ordering in parts from Timbuktu. When you go through the hard times, it makes that arrival all that much better. At one point in my extended family, there was a kind of a relationship blow up. We're live on Facebook, so I'm not going to be at all specific. Otherwise, I'll totally get in trouble. But hello, Internet. But it's just, you know, relationship blew up. Parent-child not speaking to each other was one of those things. And it went on for a long time, to the point where you couldn't even bring up other people's names. And you'd see the parent in church spontaneously crying for no reason, and everybody in the family knew why they were crying. But then you fast forward some years, and I don't know what happened, but they got it back together, and they fixed that relationship, and they're as close as anybody else. And do you think that that parent appreciates that relationship more now than they did before? Of course they do. Because they knew what it was like to be lost and what it was like to be restored. The eyes of the Lord are upon you, and He sees you exactly where you are and also where you've been, but He can also see where you could be, because He can see the potential in you that your spouse needs to see and your children need to see and your coworkers need to see. He can see a life without just a fear of a death, in a life just with a peace and joy and trust in the Lord. Because one day our house is going to be deteriorated and our bodies will be dust and your vehicles will be rust. And at that time, only one thing will matter: the gift of the victory, of God's power, life over death through Jesus. That sting is gone, and only joy remains.